也可以啊，啪走过来了，对不对？I can understand it. One of you aren't doing it. I want them to do it. Are you crazy? You just don't have your own life. You don't have fun. Don't get cute. Praise God, you come to your own senses one day. Now, dear, dear people, we come to another point here in this progression. We establish family dignity, and we find that we still need more. Allah wants us to have the fullness of our life. He wants us to have all the possibilities for our human dimension, for our intellect, for our soul, for our spirit, for everything that's in us. He wants to have us to have the full possibilities for that. So we are not satisfied just to have a family that's doing very well, paying our bills monthly, not worrying about the bills, and having a business to support them. That's not enough. Some of us will stop there, but among us will be those that will go on to become our leaders. Because God wants us to have more. We look around and say, yeah, certainly I have milk in this income. I don't worry about paying my utilities. Nobody gives me a 5-day notice. I own this house I'm living in. These 2 cars are mine. I put the sticker on and plates on them every year. I never have to wait. I'm doing well. But that's not enough. I don't have representation in the city government enough.
That's right.
I don't have representation in the state government enough.
Go ahead.
These people don't respect me like they respect others. I got to get a bigger share of this work. So the establishment will have more respect for me. Say, honey, you've done good with this family thing. I'm going on out getting me a piece of Chicago.
All right.
Say, hey, baby, what kind of piece you want? Well, I want a piece that represents my numbers in Chicago.
That's right.
And if we got 2 million, I'm going to take that 2 million and see how it made it up against the rest of the millions in Chicago. And I want that percentage of Chicago. I want my number in possession. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Now, maybe you don't get you all this, but at least you have the sense to want it. Now, I've told some cities that I'm trying that like this. I hit the barriers about 15 minutes from my home. I live on the south.
And if you let some enforce forces, I'm showing, frighten you away from this opportunity,
If you're really coming to the real thinking that God's impossible for you, then you're the fool. You're the weak. You're the sinner. And what can all the people like this thing? Never fight me out of my dignity. No, indeed. Have all kinds of new groups popping up. They're breeding new ideas and for new society and new groups. So fast now, you can hardly keep up with them. New world group. New art. Everything's coming up. To take your attention off of the real new world and the real new art. They didn't get all this stuff until after I became the leader. Before I was the leader, they were satisfied with the old state of things. As soon as I became the leader, they came up with a whole lot of new things, new ideas, new programs.
That's right.
Pretending now that they want to cooperate the poor and the weak in an underground army, promising you something. Where is the poor and all the aid? Where is the leader? That was a promise too. And the government promised that. And it was good old friends in the White House that promised it. And it was the federal government that backed it up. But under pressure from their own people, they withdrew. In fact, I think it was just a gesture to fool us in the first place. I don't think they ever intended to give it to 48 to the leader. But pacified the dummies for a while. Bill, you can arrange things to contain them. See, they had to go back and regroup their own thing. So they made a promise to hold you until they went back and reordered their own thing to contain you from then on. And every time we catch on to something, and we ourselves burst out of the crack that they had again, they come up with a promise. They are ready in their field. Oh, such a whole lot of friends appear from among the people that were born. And we decide who you are.
That's right.
Is that not right?
That's right.
But as soon as we live to see that was just a false, they don't deliver. And we find ourselves in the same situation again. Ever since I've been your leader now for about 8 years, they have made big promises to you in our community. And they have kept you in as missionaries, as front runners, as security people, as information generals. They set them among us to hope that they will increase in number and that they will grow on
a foreign society in our society. And that their foreign society will be strong enough in time to take over our society. Look, they're not pretending the battle or the struggle or the contest is not between you and me. It's between truth and falsehood.
Right.
It's not between this leader and the schemers among the, I would say, un-American people in our government. They're un-American because they're the un-American things. It's not honest of an American to try to undermine the good work of an ethnic group that has been enslaved and oppressed.
That's right.
That's not American. That's un-American. So anytime they send people into our community to influence the direction of our community so that we don't realize our objective or don't proceed as we want to proceed toward the good, lawful things that we want in our lives, that's our then they themselves are
unarmed. Right.
That's what we have been experiencing. Okay, so we know these people among us, and we know that situation. For 8 years they have been serving the people who have a design on our community. And over this 8 year period, I don't see any treatment, any evidence from me in their lives that tell me that they're being treated now better than this society treated the unarmed. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
In fact, I don't think they have treated them as well today as they treated their Uncle Tom yesterday. But I don't worry about that. That doesn't bother me. It hurts me that you're being used, but it doesn't make me feel old. That's a threat to us. No, you're no threat to among us. Because if you come among us, you are going to experience something. And in time, maybe you go back and say, look, I took this oath, this death oath, and I know if I tell you I'm with Imam Ali Muhammad, you're going to send somebody out to kill me, or you're going to have a gun some kind of way. But you just have to do it. Take your shit back. I'm with Imam Ali Muhammad. Again, I should have said, power movement. All right, look, I know that if that people come among us and stay under this teaching long enough, they are going to be the losers, not us. Or the eventually, they're going to run out. Every time, see, they keep locked up. Token gift for you. They keep them locked up. And you come to the meeting and give them a talk, and you impress by what he said. And you go back to the court, and they see in your face that you're impressed. Then they go into the token box of gifts for you. And they pull out something, and they amaze you. Sure, you know, Imam talks on this. Say, here, read this. And you go and read it, and you feel confident still. Yet Imam talks himself, but you don't know. This is where it's at. We got it. But pretty soon, you unlock. Imam brings out something, he goes up. He says, I'll be fine. Let me back. He picks up something, go and pick up something false. Intelligent one look at it and say, yeah. Look impressive. What the man said is plain good sense. So we're not there. Now, give it up to you. We have to accept that we are just as entitled to a share in the material world of this nation as anybody else, as any other citizen. Not only that, we are just as entitled to influence and contribute to the future of this nation, just as much as anybody else. And I'm not talking about its moral future alone, or its spiritual future alone. I'm talking about also its material future. And we have to, in spite of the situation that we're in spite of the non-productive situation that we're in as a people, we have to, at this moment, if we haven't done it before, we have to, at this moment, say to ourselves and believing and stepping and know that we are entitled to shape the material destiny of America just as much as any other citizen in this country. So why should we wait for the white man to tell us what is the vision for tomorrow? Where we hope to be industrially tomorrow? Or 50 years from now, or 100 years from now? Let us accept that responsibility in our soul and in our brain. And believe me, accepting that responsibility will make you more efficient in dealing with the circumstances that you have to deal with right now. If you accept that kind of responsibility, then running that peanut store on the corner is nothing. And that's what we need, bigger imagination, bigger expectations, bigger motivation, bigger courage. That's what we need. And if you can stand before God, they give us people representation in this company. They gave 10 jobs to the Spanish. We have studied our numbers, man. You owe us 30. But that's a petty thing that you hung up in. When you accept the kind of mind that you talk about now, you become really productive. You have anything that won't let you sleep too long. You get up and you don't have a whole lot of time for idle talk and foolishness and crazy time wasting leisure. Man, you just can't wait to put your energy back to work for production. And that's what this race, this ethnic group is missing. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did for the race more than anything else. And that's probably more than anything else that he did. He fought vision, adulation, bigger character. big expectations in us. And we don't intend to lose them. I don't believe that all that I'm going to come from the profession. I do not believe that. I know that I'm not. But I do believe that God placed all of that Muhammad in our lives and believers as a sign. And I'm going to heed that cry. The sign is that we have to think independently, and we have to think big. But we want progress. We're tired of the same old thing. Dear beloved people, in concluding this part of the presentation, before I speak to you on the elected mind program, I want to bring out certain reality here, and that is this: that spiritual life, moral life, social life, material life is interrelated. There ain't no such thing as pursuing one hope. You can't. You have to go out in all the main avenues and islands of life. And you have to pursue the fullness of life. You can't be satisfied to just have moral excellence. Why? Moral excellence is going to run out if you don't also get some material dignity.
Right.
Because people will look at you and say, hell, if you really had a moral conscience, man, you would see that you have a moral obligation to give your children more of a future material than you give them.
That's right. That's right.
And these obligations move on and move on, and we still change for the children. Say, yeah, look how my morals have moved from a spiritual concern into a social context, and now into a material context. And I just feel ashamed now, I feel mourning of my family in the shattered state that they're in. Now that's what a man is really growing up. Or a woman. And then they come to the point to say, it's not moral for me to trust my children to the judgment of another race. I have to get my share in the decision that's made by our government and this country. And if I find that the justice with his few material resources, that he is placing men in government, and he is placing presidents over these United States, that he is running the force behind the government structure, okay, that won't frighten me. That won't turn me back from my hope. All right. I have a moral obligation to get me an equal share, a proportional share in the industrial establishment. Let me tell you, that ain't gonna happen overnight.
That's right.
But let me tell you, overnight, we can bring cool breeze into this troubled night of life. That can happen overnight.
That's right.
But it won't happen overnight that we have the big share of this world that we're talking about here today. That's going to happen overnight. But if we burn this desire into all of us, it'll come in our children's genes. The baby will come in before it learns to speak. It'll reach us and grab something here. I didn't think they liked him.
y'all drunk. But at least George Wallace was speaking more truth. The little was doing nothing but placating the black man and urging him on in his protest that the liberal court would be a factor in bringing this country to great socialism and perhaps even to communism. So we know that they used the movement of the 60s. We know the liberals used us during the 60s to try to bring this country closer to socialism. If they had friendship and association was really genuine, they ought to bring the hell out of that. We are in a worse situation now than we were in the 60s. Where are those citizens? No, if we arise up and knock the system, if we arise up and start demanding justice from the federal government, that the federal government give us a share, this will be serving communism, socialism. Then they'll come in and they'll encourage, and they'll bother us, and they'll even take some of the clubs. But it won't be for us, it'll be for the advancement of communism, our socialism. These people are just guys in America already. Now I know about you, some innocent ones. Do you know if we start a mice kissing society? A few of us get together with a trick. Have you ever kissed your mind? Or an experience that will blow your mind? If you just try, you never know what sensation you experience when you get a mic. Believe me, if you're a big audience in America, they're going to see you get the mic. Can you get the mic? Say, get that one. Is there a difference? A slight difference. Now, get this one. I think these two are the same. Now, already, at least one nut out in the audience. That makes it understood. And in the climax, you get, they got out, get them out. 20 or 30 people just get them out. And whenever they advertise, you'll come right back to that session. And you'll pay $25 on the ticket. Now, in that group will be some planted promoters. So, you know, if we identify them, we know they're wrong. That's their movement, isn't it? The dupe that they brought in, it's not the dupe movement, the dupe is a trick. Well, that's the way I see a lot of these movements that pretend to really be for the black man. There's not a Klan movement to really use them. And I know that a lot of the people that's in there among the white folks, they're dupes. In other words, they're innocent participants. But the movement belongs to the schema. And the liberal movement was a scheme. That liberal movement that affected us. The liberals that assisted us during the 60s wasn't another team. As soon as they saw that they couldn't carry them further than their objectives, they left us. They're not with us now. Muslims never depended on that. And now we're really Muslims. We can forget it. So, therefore, our people, we have to be aware of it. Trending. As this world, trending movements in this society and this climate, and how it can take us, happen to us, distract us, divert us from our main objectives, our main goals, have us come up with things that just last for a season. We have to be aware of that. And we can never get no more our future to other people. We have to accept to pursue our destiny on our own. And if anybody likes what we are doing, good. If they want to assist us, God is good. But you are going to assist us in our own things that we have chosen, not in something that you designed for us. Becoming an honest program of connected time. This program is really an attempt to realize the promise of economic growth under the Honorable Muhammad leadership. It was the Honorable Muhammad that gave us faith in business growth in this country. He told us many of us Muslims under his leadership had been taught for 30 years ago that it was really no need to try to build up anything in America. That America was doomed. That it was going to be destroyed. It would be foolish to try to accumulate wealth, etc. here. Since it was all going to be destroyed anyway in a matter of 2 years. And Muslims went out of peace for 30 years ago. And they had no business initiative. They were doing nothing but spending all the energy in carrying the word of the destruction of America, the destruction of the white man, to their brothers and sisters, to their neighbors. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in around 1947, after he came out of prison, he came back to his temple for this time of the Israel, and he told the followers that we have to do something to impress the people that we are trying to convert. He said, how can we impress the people that we are trying to convert when we are poor and don't have anything to show? That's what he began to preach. So the first, really the first interest in building business under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not for the sake of business. It was for the sake of impressing the non-Muslim class so that they would be attracted to the Nation of Islam, or the Lost Nation of Islam, as it was officially called. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with that new idea, with that new desire, he began to grow business. Business began to grow. I remember in Chicago, on 31st and Woodward from Southside. The third restaurant was open. This was in the park, the park, late park. It was called, the first it was called Omar's restaurant. A brother, an old pioneer, he opened the restaurant himself. Then I was like, Muhammad told him to a brother, I'm going to show you how to make this business a business for the whole company. Now we got Muhammad came in, he invested the temple money into that Omar restaurant, and the believers, the members of the temple began to support it. It became a very successful restaurant. And it was named later Temple Restaurant, Shabbat Restaurant. The business in time grew, and the restaurant and grocery store was secured on 71st, near St. Louis on the south side. A restaurant called Temple Restaurant and a grocery called Temple Grocery. In time, that business became Shabbat Grocery, Shabbat Restaurant. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself, in that first business, he went in himself. He didn't have bookers. But it cost too much. People didn't have no money. Dr. Elijah Muhammad, he got caught. He had never put it in that. He got caught. He set it apart. He got him a cleaver. He got him a saw. He got him a foot or two. He got him a cutting block. He put it in that business. Now Elijah Muhammad went there and got on that block. And he took the lamb and put it on that block. He followed the trap. He cut that thing up. He put the parts in the showcase. And it looked just like the butcher did. That's what we need.
Yeah,
I remember. Let's open the grocery store. The first thing the infiltrator will tell us is that, well, you know you have to have federal tax. This tax, that tax. Well, what are you talking about? Every business knows that.
That's right.
Why are you talking about that?
Are you doing that?
Yes, be important.
Well, what do you think? We are not coming up with an idea.
The big taxes?
We're coming up with an idea to work in it. Now, let's first discuss how to make your sin run. Let's discuss how to establish your sin. How to open it, how to get to the fire, how to stash it. And then when time comes to pay taxes, then let us discuss how to pay taxes. But before we even do anything, we can't even discuss how to stop the business. Folks, the intro here tell us, well, the first thing you got to pay is federal taxes, you got to pay your broad tax, you got to employ your employee, you got to employ your tax, you got to put money in the account for this, that, that. And you are paid, buddy.
That's right.
You belong in the tax department. I'll see you when I run out of a tax question. Get the hell out of this community. Now, Mr. Hubbard, he had the mind, the right mind for us. That man went and he set at the top, and he had faith that he could cut those pieces at the top in the air. He hacked it, he brought it, he cut the top, cut the ribs, whatever. You think he stopped at a land? He did not. He went to the market, he got the man to give him a car. Man brought in and hung it up on the hook. All the light of the hummer, got him a big strong brother to take that thing off the hook. He put the saw to it, put the cleaver to it, other tools to it, and he had a nice beef steak. Lord. T-bone. Rib steak. Chuck. Everything. Man never was a butcher. And you know what he asked? Helping him do that? Me? And his other children? Certainly. We had things he did. Our land was just chicken, Florida, just under him. Learn how to farm beef, cut the nose of the get the beef from. Bone the meat, whatever, under him. That's what we need. First thing they want to do is frighten you from the business field. Tell you all you know you need to do that? You need an auditor? You ain't even in business yet. Say you need an auditor. Your accountant has to be an auditor. You need a certified public accountant. You ain't even got a business yet. What do you need with that person?
That's right.
And you know what else you need? That you need special people. So in hell, ain't no professional people ever did much. But come and give an application to a non-professional. Now, I don't want to say it now, brother, but it's a fact. This world wasn't built by professionals. This world was built by common people of character. They built this world and then they hired the professionals. Common people, they built the job, they built the industry. And then sent the professor man to school to learn what they did. Then I study what they did, boy, and become a professor. And we are hired for a soft job. Not to play in time, but we ain't ready for no professor. We are ready for character, hard work. We are not asking for no professionals to help us get this collective buying program off the ground. If you want to get turned around, just tell us that you got a PhD. Or that you're a certified public accountant. And you will be out. Because you ain't got no credentials, but you want to work. But it come on, we want you. That's right. And once we get out in this town and operate it, we know how to lead. If we need an accountant, we'll hire. When we want to, not when you say so. And when we want a black man to come and do an audit, we will hire him. When our business tells us to hire him, not when you say so. Well, you're the white man ain't on this studio.
Not as
well, that's your mind, isn't it?
We got a big man. Now, dear beloved people, in the initial steps of this program, we need to educate the people who are going to be participating in it. And Brother Bilal has addressed us here today, and that concern was to help educate you regarding this program. And we hope in time to hear more talks on this program that will share with you more information so that all of us will be better informed, are better educated as to what this program means to us. Now, dear beloved people, we also have to, in the initial stage, select persons who will represent the project assignments. You may call them committees, committee chairmen, or whatever, but we have to be selecting those persons. We already are doing that. I think a lot of improvements can be made. However, when you show more character and come forward, don't be afraid of these people. You look at the people and they look like they're many things. They look like they're tough. They look like they run the world. And you say, well, I know I can do a better job for my community than him. But they run it. That's the wrong attitude. If you know you can do a better job than somebody else, and you know that it costs our community more in terms of mistakes and trouble by having that person there, then you should get the courage to come forward and say, get out of here! And show you how to do it. Now, dear beloved people, this is not to encourage that infantry that's among us to lead movements of rebellion. We know your colors, baby. You show your hand, you're going to snap your damn neck. That's right. You don't know how big I am? I'm bigger than you think. Not me alone, but my forces. No laughing matter either. I'm here, you not. But I'll be here, you won't be here. We're getting ready for the clean sweep. You're going to have to live up to what you say you represent. Are you going to have to get over the ground? We are representing a Muslim force and a legitimate force and an American force. And if you think they're going to let you contain us and put us in jail, and tell us when to come out and have lunch or child, and tell us when to move and when to stop, you are a dumb bastard.
That's right.
And I hope and pray for the time when we won't even have to go to Paris. We should be able to invest our money securely in a place we can call it a deposit box or whatever it is. And we should be able to invest that money, keep that money carried over, and get a bigger piece of that money than we could than we can get from the bank. But when you get to the bank, they just lock it up for you and tell you ain't nobody gonna steal it and give you a few pennies on it. We should be inventive enough, in our own minds, as business thinking people, to think of positive ways, productive ways to invest that money and collect that money and reinvest it. So that money grows more than it grows sitting up in some bank.
That's right.
But that means more trust from us, too.
That's right.
We're going to get it. Because Allah is with us. This is what He wants. And He's blessed us. This is good for us. This is what we want. Dear beloved people, we have to identify the situation that we need. What kind of accounts we need to open, how much we need to spend on the bank. All this has to be decided. Who we're going to trust to be decision-makers on the account. All of that has to be decided. Right now, they've asked me, the committee has asked me, the chairman has asked me, to be the one signing on the account to offer for the money. That's not good enough. It's not. Any kind of your leader has to be exposed to every risk. That shows you the society, the community is not ready yet to be a strong, thriving community.
That's right.
To be a strong, thriving community, we have to say no. The imam only if he wants to sign on that account to decide that.
That's right.
If there's a problem and someone has to come to go to the community and answer, why should we call the man from his responsibility to come and answer for how good it has to do this account? Why do we call the man in court if there's a court case involved in this account or in the money? So you can learn how to protect your needs from unnecessary risk.
So it's just that other night. That's what he's saying.
Now, let me give you a way to do this. We need to trust our people on us.
Yes, sir.
Let me say, put a man in that responsibility, and when he accepts it, when he fails us, shoot his head, blow his brain out.